Well, amen. Again, praise the Lord for the special music and the opportunity we have when we come to church to be able to be ministered to as we sing congregational songs and we get ministered to by the special music as well. It's all a blessing. If you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. We're just going to be reading one verse, a very familiar verse to most. If you would, just we'll stand together and we'll read this last verse of chapter 15, chapter 15, verse 58. Now, there's so much in the chapter 15, and Paul reveals much about the rapture and what's going to take place following that, and he reveals to us what it's going to be like to have a glorified body and all the different things that will take place after this life. But then with that in mind, he says, Therefore, you know all that. You know what the future holds. You have confidence in everlasting life. And so we have that to kind of somewhat to encourage us as we live this life, knowing that we have eternal life and a glorified body and a place of heaven to look forward to. But before that takes place, there's much that needs to be done. But this is somewhat a motivation to be able to get done what needs to be done. It's just like when we plan our vacations, you have that as a motivation to make sure that everything's done before it's time for vacation so that you can enjoy it, amen, and get the most out of it. So this is what Paul has done, and of course this is the Word of God, Paul writing to the church at Corinth. What a blessing it is to know the importance of the church that Jesus Christ established. And so after he reveals all this, then let's look here in verse 58. Paul closes out this great chapter with this verse, and he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren," we're in this together. Every born-again believer, every church that established with the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that has his doctrine, brethren, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Now, what a great, great way to end that chapter 15. My beloved brethren, he's talking to each one of us, talking about every church of the church age, every born-again believer that will live during this church age. "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight, and we do thank you for an opportunity to be in church, and we do thank you for a church family and the Lighthouse Baptist Church being a local called out assembly of believers that make up a local body that has Jesus Christ as its head. And Father, I just thank you for this assembly tonight, and I thank you for each one that will serve in the different positions that we have established as for this church. And I just pray, God, that you would bless each one that is willing and ready to serve you as church members and then in whatever capacity that you'd have them to serve. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, of course, we had our president last night. If many, no doubt, possibly watched some of that. And trying to bring the United States into a place of unity. And I don't know that that's ever going to be the case, but I believe that's what we need to do as a country and as to make America as strong as it can be. And with that being last night, of course, our annual election of church officers is today. And what is more important even than the United States coming together in unity is for the body of Christ. For every born-again believer around this globe, because that is the most important work that's taken place. Praise God for the United States of America and the place that it has in this world and how God is working through this. It gives us the freedom of religion that we experience here. It gives us an opportunity to reach the the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, outside of freedom of religion, we would not be able to do that. Outside of the power that the United States has, we would not, as American citizens, be able to have the privileges to travel and to go into all the world, that type of thing. And so I praise God for the United States of America. But also, and what's more important than that, is I praise God for His church. And we have responsibilities as American citizens, but what's more important than our responsibilities as American citizens is our responsibility as church members. As a body of Christ, as someone that gets saved, you had better find the church that God wants to plant you in and do the work that God has called you to do first and foremost through His church. Because that is what's most important. And I trust that as a body of believers that have assembled together here on this Wednesday night, knowing it's going to be an election of officers, it's going to be a little bit different. I trust that that's why you're here, because you understand the importance of the church. And understand that God has saved your soul. And God has planted you here in this church. And God has a purpose for each and every one of us in this church. And He wants the church as a whole to be steadfast. If we are not assembling ourselves as God would have us to assemble ourselves, and if we are not experiencing what God would have us to experience in every service that we have here, we will not remain steadfast. We will not remain unmovable. And that's the problem with so many today that are not standing where they used to stand and holding to the doctrine that they used to hold to, is because they've not kept themselves in the Word of God. They have not kept themselves in a church that is preaching and teaching the Bible. They have not kept themselves as being instruments that God is going to work through in that church to do the work that God has the church to do. We need the church if we're going to remain steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. If when the work is over, praise God, we got heaven to look forward to. We have glorified bodies. We're going to have a rapture of the church. And that's something that we have on the back of our minds, and we're excited about that. You ought to be excited about that. And that's motivation for doing what God would have you to do before the rapture takes place. I believe we're running out of time. I really do, and I'm looking forward to it. Amen. We can't stay too focused on the rapture. We just got to understand it's going to take place. But what's important before that happens is always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's accomplish what God would have us to accomplish as a church. For know this, no matter how you serve and what position and how much you sacrifice to be able to be all that God wants you to be as a church member, your labor, whatever that is, whatever that means to you, it's not in vain. God sees and He records everything that we do for Him. Now, if you do it for self-recognition, if you do it primarily for somebody else, you already have your reward. But if what motivates you is to serve God, listen to me, it's not in vain. And God has blessings in store for each one that serves Him. The Bible calls them crowns. And I don't know exactly what those crowns are going to symbolize, what they're all going to be in eternity, but I know it's going to be something that you're going to want to have one when you're there. You're going to want to have it. And you can only get that by serving Him today. Yeah. We need to continue to serve God and abound in accomplishing God's work. Every member has their place in the work of Christ's church. Before we have any positions, before there's a position of a pastor, before there's a position of a deacon, before there's a position of a trustee, a Sunday school teacher, on and on and on, whatever we might have, in order to help the ministry that we have here. Before we have any positions, we are all, first of all, members of his body. Amen. Look back with me. Paul's already established that in 1 Corinthians in chapter 12, a very powerful chapter. We're not going to go into all this, but I do want to show you the one verse which ought to be familiar to you, because this is what happens when you get saved. You're brought into the body of Christ. There is no invisible church, amen. Don't think about that. If you're not into a local body of church, you're outside of God's will. You say, well, I'm saved, I'm in the invisible church. Every place I go is my... No, that's not how God established his local called out assembly of believers. And he writes this to the assembled believers at Corinth. Amen. Now, it's going to be for all of the churches, of all the church ages, but he's writing to these local called out assembly. That's why he gives us positions of pastors and deacons to be placed in every one of these churches. But when we're saved, we're brought into this body of Christ. And as you're in the body of Christ, now he wants to set you in a local called out assembly where you will be part of that local body. And that's what he says in verse 18. He says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Can I tell you that's something that we have need to know? I need to know that God planted me here, first of all, in this Lighthouse Baptist Church. God, now my situation is a little bit different. God actually called me to plant the church, and he led me to plant the church. And as we have planted the church, then I have been the pastor of the church. But before I was a pastor, I needed a church to be a member of. And once we established this church as our church, and this was my membership. And I became a member as I became the pastor of this church as well. But everyone here, you need to know that this is the church that God has worked in your life. Somehow, some way, we all come from all different backgrounds. We all come from all different areas. God worked in each one of our lives, maybe a little bit different. But God worked in your life for such a time as this. Amen. And he led you to be part of this local called out assembly. If you're a member of this church, you need to know that God orchestrated it and God led you here and God planted you in this church. The only reason you hear me say this, the only reason to join a church, the only reason to leave a church is the direction of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, he might use several things, but you have to know it's where God led you, and it's where God has planted you. And if God led you and he planted you, it was because it pleased him, and he's going to equip you to be able to be a functional part of this church. Every member has to be a functional part of this church. We're going to look at the responsibilities of every member here in just a minute. But before you become anything else, you must understand that you're first of all saved, a child of God, and the Spirit of God led you to be here at this church to serve him. Wow. Each member. As a member of the church, in order for this church to function as God would have this church and each and every one of his churches to function, it's the same. In order for this church to function as God would have it to function, then we have to be unified. Over in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1, we find Paul writing here to the church of Ephesus. Now, as he's writing to the church of Ephesus, it is God's word is for all churches and every believer of the church age. Chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The work that you're called to do. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering. You see, because you have a position, should not puff you up. It ought to scare you to death. Because it's a position in God Almighty's church. And you will give an account not only for your membership, but whatever God calls you to do in that church, whether you do it or not. If you fail to do it, then you're going to give an account for failing to do it. How you do it, you're going to give an account for how you were able to use that position, that platform by which God gave you to serve him from. It's not for self, it's to glorify God. And if you're doing it to serve the Lord and glorify Him, then God will bless you. So we find here that he says, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, doing all that we can, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Wow. You come to church, shouldn't be turmoil. When you come to church, you should not be thinking about who you can shake hands with and who you can't. You come to church, you should not be thinking about who you're going to look at and who you're not going to look at. Who you're going to talk to and who you're going to snub. Amen. There's a person sits within three pews, I'm going somewhere else. That's not how we come together as a church. If we are wanting God to work in our church as God wants to work in our church, and we want to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, then we have to be unified as a body of believers, as brethren. Right. Or not harbor any bitterness toward other people in the church. Get it worked out. And if you can, let love cover it. If it doesn't, it becomes an ought, then you have to face it. You have to go to them. If you want to avoid having to go to them, then you better let love cover it and forgive them and move on. But do not harbor that bitterness toward anyone, because not only will it hinder you from being what God wants you to be, it will hinder the church that God planted you in. I don't know how some people do that. We come to church to worship God. I don't want there to be any problems. I don't want there to be any disunity. I want it to work together in harmony. Yeah. In order to function properly, we must have unity and be willing to do our part in serving God. God determines that. I believe we ought to have desires. It's a blessing to have a desire to run for the pastor, to be a pastor, to be a deacon. To be whatever it is, be willing to do what God wants me to do. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, we must esteem God's leadership. God calls and he plants pastors in the church. Now I said pastors because as a church grows, we need to have sometimes associates. Every one of the associates of this church, the staff, they represent me, the position that I hold. They represent me. They serve alongside of you and alongside of me in this church, but that is those in whom I have chosen and have. We do get the church's approval, but it has to be the pastor's choice who he wants to hire to represent him. That's the pastors. In every church, that pastor has that responsibility and it has that privilege to hire staff that would represent him. When my staff come to you, if you're in the hospital, they represent me as well as the church, as well as Jesus Christ. Amen? But they're hired as employees to be on the pastoral staff of the church. So them coming to you is like me coming to you. Amen. You have the pastoral staff that is representing their pastor coming to you for these. Now, praise the Lord, I want to be there for anybody and everybody, especially if it makes a difference to you if I'm there or not. I want to be there. As a pastor, I first of all want to be there for you as one of the flock that God has given me to oversee. I cannot be there at every situation and every purpose. And the thing of it is, there's a lot of you who'd rather have a staff than me come anyway. Yeah. All of you rather have my wife come than myself, but you can't have that. Amen. She's my wife. Before she's your pastor's wife, she is my wife. Yeah, but that's, so this is, that's what the Bible talks about in the positions as the pastor of the church. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, we need to be aware of this in order for us to have unity. Verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Esteem them very highly. If you look to the Hebrews in chapter 13, you have the account of the pastor and what he is to do and how the membership is to look to him and his leadership. That's how God has established it. As a member, you need to be able to esteem the pastoral leadership that God has placed over this church to be able to help lead the church in the direction that God wants the church to go. That's Bible. That is pastoral leadership, and that is Bible when it comes to staff of the pastor. Must esteem God's men, or the work will not be done as God wants it to be done. There will not be unity as God wants there to be unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. This is something all of us need to know and be reminded of. Too many churches fail because they lose sight of these things right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order, the order that God has established to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. It's the same order that God has for all of his churches, okay, around the globe, throughout the church age. This will not change upon the first day of the week. The first day, that's Sunday. We are to assemble ourselves together. It's Resurrection Sunday, but on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, and that there be no gathering when I come. We must assemble and give tithes and offerings to God through his church. The membership of this church do not pay the salaries of the staff. God takes care of them. You do not pay the staff of anybody here. What you're doing, giving your tithe and offering, you're giving it to God. You're giving back to God what God says to give to him. It's God's. And he has established his church for us to assemble ourselves together and to bring in God's finances to work through his church. I tithe to God. I give offerings to God through his church, through the church that he planted me in. Yeah. 32 years. Started. I've never failed to tithe in 32 years to this church. As far as I know, I've never failed to tithe since I recommitted my life to Christ, rededicated my life to serve him. And I've never begrudged that, because God has been so good to me. And he has given to me far more than I could have ever imagined giving to him. Yeah. God's blessed that. So in order to function properly, we assemble ourselves together to worship the Lord, to give of our tithes and offerings, to esteem the leadership, allow them to work, let God work through them to be able to teach, to be able to preach, to be able to feed the flock of God which is among us, and to be unified. To be unified. Every church member has their place and their work. And this is a beginning. This has to be established before anything else. Then as a church, we must have God's order. Why we have a budget? Because of God's order. Why do we have election of officers? Because of God's order. Okay? The church must have God's order. Look over in the book of Titus. And I'm excited this Sunday for Sunday school. We're in the book of Titus. For morning worship, we're going to be in the book of Titus as well. It just seems like Titus is getting a lot of glory and in the church because it's going to help so much. There's so much here in the book of Titus. But in Titus chapter 1 and verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, Paul, servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and knowledge of the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee. You see, for there to be order, there must be positions of responsibility. Now follow this. This is important here. Positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. Positions of responsibility and a chain of authority. The authority that the Bible very clearly reveals to us is, first of all, God. This is God's church. This is God's work that we're doing. What follows God is His Word. Jesus, as God the Son, came, completed, fulfilled the Old Testament, and gave us the New Testament scriptures. During the apostolic age, a completion of the scriptures, ever since that, the church was established by Jesus Christ, and it has been going strong ever since for some 2,000 plus years. With His Word being the authority that represents God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. From His Word, we find that He established His church. So the church as a whole, this body of Christ, has the authority. When there's something that takes place, we're to present it to the church, and whatever the church has agreed upon as Christ's church, as long as they're following the scriptures, then we have the authority of God backing His church. So you have God, His Word, the church, and then you have positions that He has established. Amen. The positions that God has established. And that, first of all, is the pastor and deacons, according to the Bible, to assist the pastors. First Timothy chapter 3, we won't be for sake of time, is verses 1 through 12, identify what God says is the qualifications for the pastor and the deacon. A pastor, okay, as I said before, represents pastoral staff. There should not be any pastoral staff in his church that does not meet the same qualifications as a pastor. The deacons, according to the book of Acts, are there to serve the tables and to assist the pastors, as they would, first of all, assist the apostles, which would have been the first pastors of the church there. But we find that they were to assist them. And in order to assist them, then they would have to have the very similar qualifications. If you do not meet those qualifications according to God, according to His Word, you cannot serve in that position. All other positions that is established for His church comes under the direction of Romans in chapter 16. Look there with me. Only two positions that God's given qualifications for. But there are more positions that the church needs to have in order to keep the work moving forward, to accomplish what God has the church to accomplish. The book of Romans in chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Paul, I commend you unto you, Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Crentia. Servant of the church. Praise God for women servants in the church. That ye receive her in the Lord as become as saints, and yet that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So in the New Testament church, not only is there the position of a pastor and the position of a deacon, but there is a position of helps. My helpers in Christ Jesus. Every other position, every other office that we have chosen to establish for the Lighthouse Baptist Church comes under the heading of helpers, helping to get the job done.